الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واتقوا يوما ترجعون فيه إلى الله ثم توفى كل نفس ما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام العارية مؤدات والزعيم غارم والدين مقضي صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear brothers and respected elders, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has blessed us with innumerable bounties and favors. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try to count and enumerate the bounties and the favors of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala upon us, we will never ever be able to do that. One of the greatest bounties and favors of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala upon us is the religion of Islam, which is complete, which is comprehensive, which is perfect, and which is absolute. There are no flaws, no deficiencies, and no discrepancies in the religion of Islam. Islam provides us guidance in each and every aspect of our lives. We do not require guidance from any other source. My dear brothers and respected elders, in this age of scientific calculations and technological advancements, we have so many comforts and luxuries of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala at our disposal. In spite of those comforts and luxuries, we still complain and we still suffer grief, agony and depression. Unfortunately, most of us today, we have joined Club 99. One king was sitting in his palace. He saw a peasant passing by with his hoe and his pick. He was very, very happy and very joyful. The king thought to himself that I am wealthier than him, why is he more happier than me? He called his royal courtier and asked him, then why is it that I got more wealth than him, but he is more happier than me? The royal courtier then told the king that he hasn't joined Club 99. The king asked him, what do you mean by Club 99? He said, give him 99 gold coins and see the consequences of that. The king then gave him 99 gold coins. The following day when the king saw him, he wasn't the person that he was yesterday. Yesterday he was happy, yesterday he was joyful. Today, there's grief and agony on his face. The king called him and asked him, what is the matter? Yesterday you were happy, today you are not happy. He then told the king that you have given me 99 gold coins. I went home and I started counting the coins. I counted it one time, I thought there was a mistake. Why is it 99? Why is it not 100? I counted it a second time again, I thought, why is it 99? Why is it not 100? I counted it for a third time. Whole night my mind was preoccupied that how I'm going to convert this 99 into 100. In the morning I woke up, I had a fight with my wife, and as I'm walking past your palace, my concern is how I'm going to convert this 99 into 100. My dear brothers and respected elders, unfortunately today, most of us, we suffer grief, depression, agony because we have joined Club 99. If do not fulfill the huquq and the rights of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in our wealth, we will suffer grief, agony and depression. And this very same wealth that was supposed to be a means of comfort and luxury for us, it will turn out to be a burden for us. Allah ta'ala gives us the incident of Qarun. Qarun was a cousin brother of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed him with lots of wealth. Just the keys of his treasure was so wealthy, it was so heavy that it would cause a group of people to bend, carrying the keys. If that were the extent of the weight of the keys of his treasure, one can well imagine what was the extent of the wealth that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed him. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was the leader of the nation. Harun alayhi salatu wasalam was his deputy. Qarun said that I am the wealthier than the two. I'm more wealthier than Musa, more wealthier than Harun. Why is it that I am the leader of the nation? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam advised him and told him that this position of nubuwat, this position of prophethood, it is a decree from the side of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We have no choice in the matter. When a person has wealth, when a person is proud, when a person is arrogant, he does not fulfill the huquq and the rights of Allah in his wealth, he abuses that wealth would become a burden on him. Allah ta'ala tells us in the Quran al-Kareem, إِنَّ قَارُونَ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ. Qarun, he was from the nation of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He oppressed the people. My dear brothers and respected elders, it is human nature not to submit to oppression. Qarun oppressed the Banu Israel. The Banu Israel did not submit to the oppression of Qarun. They revolted against him and they gave him advices. They told to him, لا تفرح إن الله لا يحب الفريحين وابتغ فيما آتاك الله الدار الآخرة ولا تنس نصيبك من الدنيا وأحسن كما أحسن الله إليك ولا تبغي الفساد في الأرض إن الله لا يحب المفسدين. The nation of Qarun, the nation of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, gave five advices to Qarun. The first advice, لا تفرح. Don't be proud. Don't be arrogant because of your wealth. Allah does not like the proud and the arrogant. The second advice, وَابْتَغِ فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. Whatever wealth Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given you, with that wealth, search and invest for the akhirat. The third advice, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't spend all your wealth for investing in the akhirat. Use your wealth to fulfill your needs of this world as well. وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. And just as Allah has favored you with this wealth, you have the comfort and luxuries of Allah, you also be favorable to other people. And the fifth advice, وَلَا تَبْغِي الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Just because Allah has given you wealth, you don't cause mischief and spread evil on earth. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not like those people that cause mischief. My dear brothers and respected elders, Qarun did not take heed to this advice. His wealth, which was supposed to be a means of comfort and luxury for him, turned out to be a burden for him. Allah ta'ala tells us in the Quran al-Kareem, فَخَصَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. We have caused the earth to swallow him with all the wealth that he had. If we do not fulfill the huquq and the rights of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, we do not take heed to the advice that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given us regarding our wealth, then Allah's azab will also come upon us. My dear brothers and respected elders, in these verses, and these first five advices that were given to Qarun, in this, we can understand the mindset of a Muslim merchant. A Muslim merchant, he does not have a capitalist mind. He does not have a socialist mind. He knows that the wealth that he has is from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He believes in death. He believes in life after death. He believed in hisab and accountability in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And in the wealth that he has, he recognizes the hukuk and the rights of other people. We will never know the impact of our contributions to the poor and the underprivileged, especially at these times with the rising cost of food, rising cost of bread, oil, petrol, and so many other things. It is mentioned in one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that U'budur Rahman, worship Allah, worship Rahman, afshus salam, spread salam among you, at'imu ta'am, feed people, people that are poor, people that are underprivileged, that are impoverished, feed those people. If you do these things, tadkhulul jannata bi salam, you will enter into jannat very, very peacefully. My dear brothers and respected elders, in one hadith, Umm Bujayd radiallahu ta'ala anha, she came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she said, Ya Rasulullah, sometime a beggar comes to my home and I have nothing to offer the beggar. What should I do? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whatever you have in your house, even it may be a burnt hoof, give that also to the beggar. There was once a young boy studying. He was in need of food. He didn't have the means to purchase food. He goes house to house to purchase, to beg. He came to one particular house. A woman gives him a glass of milk. Life carried on. He was satiated. Life carried on. Over a period of time, he became a doctor. Then he became a consultant to the doctors. On this side, woman carried on with her life. She once then contracted a rare disease. She happened to go to the hospital and then they had to consult with the doctor and then with a consultant of the doctor. When this file came up to this consultant, he looked at the name and he remembered that it was that woman that gave me the glass of milk. He then ordered the doctors to provide a treatment. Over a period of time, she was cured with the fadl of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, but she was worried about the greatest thing after that is what is going to be the medical bill. Huge medical bill came up. Then, when it went to a consultant, behind the bill, he wrote, paid with a glass of milk. My dear brothers and respected elders, we will never know the impact of our contributions to those that are poor, needy, impoverished, and underprivileged. We make dua that Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq and hidayat that in our wealth, especially at these times, in the time rising cost of food, bread, milk, everything, we will never know the impact of our contribution to a poor and the needy. My dear brothers and respected elders, we now proceed with the technical aspects of business and economics. And point number one that we have on our agenda is conventional medical aid. Conventional medical aid is not permissible. It has in it three prohibited elements. It has interest in it, it has gambling in it, and it also has gharar or uncertainty in it. Let me explain all three in the context of conventional medical aid. There's interest in conventional medical aid. If I have to take out a medical aid cover and every month I'm paying 100 rands premium, for example, over a period of 1 year, I am paying 1,200 rands. If in the second year, if I have to get sick and I have to go to hospital, if the medical bill comes to 10,000 rand, for example, the medical aid company would pay the 10,000 rands. I have paid 1,200 rands. And the medical aid company is paying 10,000 rands, that is 8,800 more than the amount that I have contributed. This surplus of 8,800 is more than the amount that I contributed, and it is lieu of nothing. So therefore, this amount would be regarded to be riba, and it would be regarded to be interest. It is incorrect to assume that the medical aid company is providing a service. The medical aid company is not providing a medical service. It is providing financial help and assistance. And this can be tested by, if the client, the patient, does not pay the medical aid bill, or the medical aid company does not pay the bill, then the claim would be directed to the patient and not to the medical aid company. This is a clear indication that in conventional medical aid, there is interest which is completely prohibited and it is haram. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran al-Kareem, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. That all you who believe, stay away from riba. Stay away from interest. Only if you have iman in you, the flame and the fire of iman is burning in your heart, stay away from that. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, dirhamu riba ya'akuluhu rajul wa huwa ya'lam ashaddu min sittati wa sittina zinya. That person who consumes one dirham of riba, it is worse than an individual committing zina 66 times with one's own mother. My dear brothers and respected elders, in conventional medical aid, there is also gambling involved in it. If I have to take out a medical aid cover, and every month my premium is 100 rand, over a period of 1 year, I pay 1,200 rands. In 1 year, there is a possibility that I may get sick. There is a possibility I may not get sick. If I get sick and a medical aid or the bill comes up to 10,000 rands, then I will stand to gain. But if I did not get sick, I paid my premiums, then I will stand to lose. And the opposite is true for the medical aid company. There's a possibility that a medical aid company would gain, there's a possibility the medical aid company would lose. And in both instances, both ways, there's gambling. The principle is, when you make a financial contribution, and there's a possibility of a gain or a loss, that is regarded to be gambling, it is regarded to be qimar. Allah Ta'ala clearly mentioned it in the Quran al-Kareem, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِسْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَإِسْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا. If people ask you about gambling, they ask you about wine and intoxicants, say to them that the sin of that, there is benefit in it, but the sin of it is more than the benefits. Also, in conventional medical aid, there is gharar, uncertainty in it. If I take out a medical aid cover, this is based on a future uncertain act. If I get sick, the medical aid cover will come to my help and assistance. And if I don't, then they will not come to my help and my assistance. So this is based on a future uncertain event. I may get sick, I may not get sick. And any transaction which is based on a future uncertain event is called gharar and uncertainty. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an bay' al-hasati wal gharar. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited from the transaction of pebbles and from the transaction of uncertainty. In conventional medical aid, it is clear that there is an element of uncertainty in it.